Now, that last reading, which Matt read to us, was a prediction of the future. I wonder what you think about such a thing, being able to predict the future. Many people are rightly quite sceptical about that, aren't they? Here's a few quotes about predicting the future. Prediction is never easy, especially if it's about the future. Says Niels Bohr, the physicist, thinking about microscopic particles, of course, but applies for everything, I think. Winston Churchill's comments, he said, "I always avoid prophesying beforehand because it's much better to prophesy after the event has already taken place." And then one other quotation, I don't know where this came from. "There are two types of forecast, lucky and wrong." I think we can understand where they are getting at. Now, this last reading was from a man called Micah. And if you got it right, then it was really quite remarkable. You've probably heard, I imagine, that the Jewish people, that in the Old Testament time God had chosen to be his special people, they were at a time of trouble through much of their history, and they were waiting for what they called a Messiah, a rescuer, a new king. And that he would come along to free them from their plight. They were in a political mess, and they were in a spiritual mess as well. And this prophet, Micah, said that the Messiah was going to be born in a little town of Bethlehem. Here it is. Well, it's night. You can't see very much, can you? It was a little town. Nothing special, really, but it was a place with a history. This little town was where the first great king of Israel was born, King David. He grew up there as a shepherd boy. Now, he moved to Jerusalem, of course, and sadly, many of those who followed him were a right bunch of wasters, to be quite honest. They left Israel in this deep mess, till eventually they were completely dominated and crushed by the evil empires that were around and about in the time, eventually the Romans. So in looking ahead and making this promise, Micah was saying, what you need is a new king, a new start. It's going to almost like start again, really, because it's all gone wrong in Jerusalem. We need a new king now. Hence the little town of Bethlehem, back to the start where it all began. But for this to come true, for this to be fulfilled, there were three great challenges. And when you actually look at them and put them together, they really add up to something really quite remarkable. So remarkable, in fact, that the skeptics will tend to question whether it actually happened at all. They will tend to say, oh, well, Matthew read about this in the Old Testament, and so he wrote the story of Jesus to suit it, to fit. But that doesn't really hold water. For a start, people like Matthew and other people who wrote the stories of Jesus, they referred to the people who were there at the time. Matthew knew his mum, Mary. Where do you think these stories came from otherwise? She was the only person there by that time. And she was there to both tell him, approve, and to correct things that weren't true. He got this story from someone who was there. What's more, people like Matthew, they were very sincere in what they believed. And they were willing to die for what they wrote. Now, you'll die for things which you believe are true, but you don't die for things that you've made up, do you? I wouldn't. Another interesting thing is, it's actually very unlikely he'd have made this story up. Remember those wise men who come to visit? Yeah, they were astronomers and astrologers. And They came from a faraway place called Babylon. And they came and they bowed down to this baby. Now, that's a daft story. It's so daft, you wouldn't make it up unless it was true. In particular, because the Jews and the Christians in those days, they absolutely despised astrology. They thought it was a rotten load of rubbish. There's no way Matthew would have made up a story that astrologers came to worship Jesus. It made no sense at all, unless it actually happened. Anyway, three big things had to be brought about in order for his prophecy of the future to come true. Firstly, there was the problem of time. Because Micah wrote these words 700 to 750 years before Jesus came. Now, that is quite a long time by anybody's book, isn't it? And in that 750 years, basically nothing happened in Bethlehem. So surely you'd start to be thinking that that particular prophecy was past its sell-by date, that it had expired like unused Tesco vouchers that you've got to claim before the time is up, as I discovered only a few months ago. Wise men opening the book of Micah to find out directions to the Messiah is like us opening up Geoffrey Chaucer for directions to McDonald's. That's the sort of time scale we're talking about. We think things are out of date after a week, don't we? Let alone 750 years. Then there's the problem of the place. Because although we sing songs about the little town of Bethlehem, and although David was born there, it really wasn't special in any other way. Nothing else happened there that was significant. It was small among the clans of Judah, as it says in the book, a sheep-rearing town. It didn't have much more than, well, it probably didn't even have a post office. It only just gets a mention in the list of books in the old histories. And you had to zoom right in on Google Maps before the name even came up. For the Messiah to be born there by chance would be, well, very, very unlikely. As the wise men assumed, any proper king would be born in the capital city in Jerusalem, like all the others had been. And then there's the problem with the people themselves, the persons, the people involved. This new king, the Messiah, had to fulfill a number of criteria. He was going to be special. He had to be... Oops, here we go. Let's put the words up there. He had to be special. He had to be special. He had to be a new king, the Messiah. He had to make a fresh start. He couldn't just carry on with what was going on before. But he also needed, as it says, origins from old, from ancient times. He needed that long connection with the past, right back to old King David and even further still. And you know, there was only one man who could pass that on and make that link for him. His name was Joseph. He was the true heir, even though 10 generations have passed since the kings had lost their thrones. He was the one who was in the line of David who could pass it on to Jesus. Trouble was, he wasn't a king in Jerusalem. He wasn't an important person in the town square. He wasn't a freedom fighter building up a little army to fight the Romans. He was a chippy, a carpenter, an utter nobody in the world unless you wanted new shelving. He didn't spend his time trying to fight the Romans. He spent his time quietly tonguing and grooving in a faraway Nazareth. Nonetheless, it happened. All those things were brought together so that those ancient words would come true. You know the story, don't you? of how Jesus appeared in Nazareth, in the right place at the right time with the right people. The wise men turned up, guided by the star. More about the star on Christmas Day, because that's very interesting. Where's the king to be born, they ask of the wise men and the king, the alleged king. Bethlehem, they reply, dusting off their books. So off they go. And there he is. Time, place, and person, all there. They seem like a problem from a human perspective. Those great vast times and all those little towns and all of the people in the world it could have been. But God knew exactly what he was doing. It was no problem to God. And that's still the case today. Look at Bethlehem now. By night, Christmas time at least, then it looks like a charming, joyful throng of people. No doubt many tourists, many pilgrims at this time of year. But what do we see in the cold light of day? Here we have the little town of Bethlehem as it is now. A town riven by tensions, poverty, and repressed violence. Here is the great barrier wall, security wall that's been built right through that little town. And that, of course, is symbolic of the great tragedy of the whole human race and of all of our history in general. Isn't it? All gone wrong. All broken and spoiled. And you think, what kind of relevance is there really for the Christian story, for the Christmas story, in the mess that we're in now? The time, well, it all happened too long ago, didn't it? 2,000 years. The place, well, it's too far away, isn't it? And too insignificant, just a little town. And the people we've been reading about, they're so different, they're so irrelevant to our lives and our problems and our realities. Ancient prophets like Micah, ancient writers like Matthew, they've got nothing to say. Even ancient kings like Jesus. No, don't be so sure. Micah went on to say this. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Now remember, Micah had already got it right once. Even after 750 years, the right place and the right person. He'd got it once already. If he got it right once already, can't he do it again? If 750 years is nothing to God, what's 2,000 years for him? Yeah, it's a faraway place and different people, but no problem to a God like this. If he's done it today, if he did it back then, he can do it today. And the amazing thing is that this prophecy here is already coming true. How many people are going to be celebrating Christmas right now? Over 2 billion in the world. Now, I know that not every one of them is really a Christian, but many hundreds of millions of them are. These words which Micah spoke are coming true. His greatness reaching to the ends of the earth. They're probably even going to be celebrating Christmas in space, for all I know. It's being fulfilled. Perhaps I wouldn't have bet on Micah all those years ago, but I think I would now. And maybe you would too. Because the call is for all of us today. It's the same one. To see that Jesus is the King God has sent to rescue us, to bring life and hope and peace to broken lives and a troubled world. He promised he would come and he did. He promises he will come again and he will. So look, he's nearly here. His star has risen. Will you bow down and worship your King? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words which echo through the years. Words which at the time must have seemed strange and hard to understand or expect, yet words which in your timing became true. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as Micah's ancient promises have already begun to be fulfilled, so they will continue to be so in our broken world. We pray for the King of light and life and love to reign in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.